Robin McCarron.
Should we begin with the puking, or should we begin with the topics that will change the face of WWE forever?
Jeff Hawkins.
We are not here to talk about Curtis Hughes.
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Nobody's listening for hockey talk. Struggling is hard because you never know what's at the end of the tunnel. The late, very, very great Don Rickles. Trivia. The crap game part of my Twitter handle comes from Don Rickles' character in Kelly's Heroes. So rest in peace, Don Rickles. Hi. Appears I'm still part of this show. Or wait, did I get moved to the flagship? We'll see.
We are the flagship, damn it.
Oh, we are. Okay. Jump on your cue there, Rob. I'm back from Orlando. We'll go over what I liked, what I saw, and even my mania thoughts, perhaps. The superstars are all shook up, especially Finn Balor. Debuts, switches, who went where, and what it means, all today on Shake Them Ropes. Your host, as always, Mr. Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob. It's felt like forever since I've been here.
Hi. Is it Jeff? Jeff, is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's Jeff Lanza. I'm taking that name because it'll get me further in my broadcasting career.
Will it, though?
I don't know.
Okay. Good to know. Yes, Raw and SmackDown. Payback. There's a pay-per-view coming up soon. The WrestleMania honeymoon is over, and we have another pay-per-view. We go back into the cycle. Back into the cycle all the way, waiting until next WrestleMania season. We got a long way to go now.
Let me ask you something, because this was actually a concern when I was kind of doing, I was collecting my thoughts about Mania.
Okay.
For the most part, it just feels like there's no sense of finality to it. That really the only thing that kind of ends is the fact that Stephanie's off TV for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
But like these feuds don't feel like they've ended. They don't feel like they've been blown off to you know, the heat's been built up, and then we kind of, you know, let it all go, and then we kind of reorganize ourselves. It's like, nope, it's like day one all over again in the WWE, and it never really – I think that kind of makes the whole experience a little bit unsatisfying for me.
Yeah, no, there's no finale. I mean, one of your major feuds still going on right now is Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, which was a match at WrestleMania, and now it's going to be a U.S. title match again at Payback. And Kevin Owens is on a different show now, and Chris Jericho's on the other show. So we got that cross-branded stuff to look forward to for the next couple of weeks. Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, another match. No, WrestleMania kicked off a couple of feuds. It didn't end them. Right. So yeah, there's no finality for a lot of things. You just got people moving to different places. No real ends. I mean, even with John Cena and The Miz, right? John Cena and The Miz felt like it should have been a finale at WrestleMania. The Miz moves on. John Cena and Nikki Bella go away. But The Miz and Maurice, again, do their John Cena mocking gimmick for 2 weeks after WrestleMania. So, yeah, that probably I wouldn't have done that. I mean, don't let the people remember. It's a funny bit, but it was funny, and it served its purpose before WrestleMania, not after.
Yeah, as opposed to say, like, and here's where my old school fandom comes in. It's kind of like the Starcades of old. You'd always have kind of that week or so to cool down and go, okay, where are we now? A little bit. And then you'd start again. You don't get that with WrestleMania. You go right into the next Raw. Who's getting called up? Who's this? You know, it almost feels like they haven't reflected on any kind of story consequences of any kind. They just, it's just on to more product. And that, you know, that was a bit of a takeaway I had from the week.
That is your takeaway. Are you rested and are you back to normal after your WrestleMania visit? You went to Orlando the week after I did. Jeff, are you engaged?
I am. I really enjoyed myself. I watched a lot of independent wrestling, even though it seemed like a few people caught me with resting bitch face over the weekend. But I liked this WrestleMania a lot more than last year. Especially, I think the venue helped quite a bit, as opposed to the giant shopping mall that is Jerry World in Dallas. The first half of WrestleMania, I agree mostly with what Lanza said on your post show. The first half was great. and Goldberg Brock was great, but that second half kind of faltered a bit. The only issue I had with any of the analysis that you two guys did and everybody else was a lot of people blamed Undertaker for that botched tombstone reversal spot. And I think we forget that Roman Reigns had a hernia issue at one point, and he's always had issues with lifting guys up for power bombs and things like that. His upper body strength isn't the greatest in the world. I viewed that as more Roman's fault than Undertaker's fault, but that was a bad match too. But that Bray Orton match was bad, I thought.
Not that type of engaged.
Oh, am I engaged? Oh, okay. I missed the joke. Maybe I'm not caught up on all the rest. Who knows?
You had to go into 2 minutes of hot takes instead of answering the clear joke, Jeff.
I know.
It's okay. It's all right.
No, I'm not engaged. Okay. And in fact, I'm probably the opposite.
You actually got further away from marriage.
Probably.
In WrestleMania trip. Because you, how many wrestling shows did you go to in the week you were in Orlando? How many? Under 10, oh, over 10?
I think over 10.
Oh my God. That's
because I think
ridiculous.
I had two days of four, one day of two, Raw, SmackDown, and Mania. I think I had.
You stayed all the way to SmackDown?
Yeah, I went to SmackDown.
Oh my gosh. So it drew you. Yeah. I mean, SmackDown now being, you know, one of the, it's an A show. The two A shows. It's not A and B anymore.
I changed my vacation to leave the next day so that I could stay for SmackDown.
Was it worth it?
They did the brand split.
Was it worth it?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, that's all there is. That's good. Yeah, I'm glad it's worth it. There's been, we'll talk more about the WrestleMania trip. We'll talk more about this draft very shortly. Reminder, this is Shake Them Ropes, episode 204. Catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere podcasts are sold for free. Appreciate those who have left nice and even not so nice reviews on the iTunes page. If you haven't already, go to iTunes right now, leave a rating and review. It would help us out quite a bit. Check out our sponsor, Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/shake and get your food right now. Jeff's got food on his way coming in the next couple of weeks. Jeff, when are you going to start your cooking show? When are you going to actually show us how you make these amazing meals? That's going to be the offshoot of this show. It's going to be Jeff Hawkins cooking. It's going to be cook those foods.
I wake up at 2 a.m. to go to work. So I've had numerous kitchen accidents. Uh-oh. In terms of, oh, I forgot. Uh-oh. I had that in the under the broiler for a half hour. Oh. Before I grabbed it off the pan. Yeah. No. So I will not be operating a camera of any kind whilst I cook.
Okay. That's probably a good idea. You're probably right to do that. I would be the opposite. I would go, danger is my middle name. So,
Hold on. Are you still engaged?
Yes, that's true. I am.
Well, then you have a camera operator. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's true. I do. There's been a bit of controversy this week. I thought we would just get this kind of out of the way. It's really been boiling up for me, I know. Controversial topic. This damn Milky Way commercial. Jeff, have you seen this Milky Way commercial with the no regrets?
No,
you have not. How have
you
not?
Oh, yes, I have. Oh, were they like misspell the tattoo?
The tattoo artist. What are you doing as a tattoo artist eating a Milky Way? First of all, what are you doing as the patron of this tattoo place, letting the artist eat this Milky Way and clearly not pay attention? And how do you not notice that it's misspelled until after it's all the way done? You're not watching it all. What else do you got to do? This ad makes no sense. Clearly the most controversial topic of the week, and I cannot believe it's just now flying over the radar in some people.
I can't believe you're bullying a candy bar.
Well, this candy bar is being an idiot, and these ad makers are awful. Worst controversy, worst ad of the week, too. Unbelievable to me. Anyway, the draft. Who was the biggest move?
Charlotte to SmackDown.
Nice. Nice. The biggest move was Charlotte. Shane McMahon sold it as the biggest move, too. That was pretty cool to see. Like, they were promoting that as a huge, giant move, which is crazy to think because you have a person who is involved in the WWE title match at Payback moving brands. You would think that would be a big deal. The fact that this WWE title match is on Payback anyway, by the way, the SmackDown title is being defended on the Raw pay-per-view. This Payback show is now cross-branded.
I think Raw's roster after this whole shakeup is mostly garbage. I think both women's divisions help themselves.
Yeah, I think I like the refresh in the women's divisions on both sides for sure.
Yeah, yeah, I like those. And I think the Revival coming up as a tag team on Raw has been handled really, really well. But SmackDown got rid of a lot of dead weight to try and refresh them on Raw. And then Raw gave up a lot of really great in-ring talent to make it more of a wrestling. I think SmackDown fleeced Raw on this shakeup. I don't know what they're thinking, to be honest, to the point where I don't know what they're thinking. That's how bad it is.
Kurt Angle's new at the job. He wants to get his guys in. You got to give it 1 or 2 years to actually see what's going to happen, right?
The parallel here is when they had Raw being the quote unquote entertainment show, and you had the SmackDown 6 over on SmackDown.
Yeah.
And they're just doing these wacky character things. I mean, Dean Ambrose doing his shtick, The Miz doing his thing, Bray, who's stale as hell. I don't see. I see them bailing on this quick.
Am I crazy to say that Dean Ambrose is the worst guy in the company right now?
No,
the worst guy. And if you dare say Jinder Mahal, I swear to God, I'm
gonna say
Jinder
Mahal.
I'm cutting you off right now.
Jinder Mahal is the worst guy in this company.
That is false. Patently false. Completely false. You literally just told me Jinder Mahal is the worst guy in the company when there was a Kurt Hawkins segment on Raw this week.
He made me laugh.
Oh my God. Jinder Mahal on both shows this week. Look at that guy. I can't believe that. The biggest move, though, yes. Not to glance over that. Charlotte going over to SmackDown is pretty was a pretty good move. The surprise.
What's the most underrated? What's the most underrated move?
The most underrated move. God, I don't even know what the most underrated. Maybe the most underrated move might be the lack of a Seth Rollins move.
Or even Sasha, I'd go with that. But Sasha, I mean, yeah. in terms of what actually happened, I'm loving Rusev on SmackDown.
Yeah,
I'm loving that move. I'm loving the thought of Rusev on Talking Smack. That is going to be glorious.
Well, not even just Rusev. You talk about if you want to go the Talking Smack angle, you got Kevin Owens potentially on Talking Smack. You have Rusev potentially on Talking Smack. You have the New Day. Potentially, Big E posted on Twitter that the only reason he wanted to go to SmackDown was to appear on Talking Smack. That is going to be a fun show to watch. If you have enjoyed it over the last year, a lot of people were worried when Miz and Maurice were taken off that because they had been the A stars of that show, really, especially the confrontations with Daniel Bryan. But you got the New Day on there. You got Rusev on there. Maybe an underrated move that I know I've seen a lot of people or some people on Twitter mention, but hasn't been too much because, you know, Rusev's out for a while and it was a late pick. It doesn't even matter too much at the moment. But Rusev and Lana getting drafted separately, even though they're still on the same show, the thought that Lana might be moved into more of an active wrestler role.
Is that how you took that vignette?
I see some people taking it. I don't even know what to take of it because anything they have planned for Lana right now, maybe she comes to SmackDown here and wrestles a little bit. I don't see how she's going to be a top performer in that division right now with Charlotte in there with the reemergence of Tamina and Naomi as the champion. So I don't necessarily think she's going to be a full-time wrestler, but I know it's out there. What do you think? Is it crazy to think that she might be separated from Rusev and more of a singular character on the show?
I think this is kind of that Sunny move that they did with her and Candido. I think they're going to try and kind of make her a separate personality while still kind of being associated with the Rusev act. But this is her chance to shine in a certain role. They'll probably, you know, they may make her like a heel interviewer or something to that.
All right. Well, let's look at the, so we have the draft picks. Apollo Crews was sent to Raw before Raw even started. He just showed up at the arena and they made a little Twitter video out of it. And Apollo Crews is on Raw. Miz and Maurice, Dean Ambrose, Kurt Hawkins, Bray Wyatt, Kalisto. Stop there at Kalisto. Kalisto going in the cruiserweight division, you think? Or is he just going to be left alone to do nothing just like he was on SmackDown?
I think they may be hesitant to put him in 205 because he's already been seen against heavyweights. And also they have Lince Dorado and Gran Metalik hanging around there. They don't really need Kalisto in the 205. I think Kalisto belongs in the 205. But
I would say he definitely belongs there. And let's face it, we saw Neville against heavyweights too, and Neville's doing wonders in division. So I don't necessarily think that stops him. But yeah, obviously they took Sin Cara out of the cruiserweight division to just toil on the C shows for a while. And now he's on SmackDown. So obviously he's out of the cruiserweight division for right now. But yeah, Lince Dorado, I still wonder what they're even doing with some of these guys like Lince Dorado, like Drew Gulak. You're not working them on every
single... Gran Metalik. That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah. One of the breakout stars of the CWC.
Yeah.
And he can't even make television on the network.
At some point, they're going to figure out how many guys they have and how they're not using them and how they don't need them. And certain guys are going to be cut. It's going to be, you know... I think Mustafa Ali is taking the most of this opportunity because I think Mustafa Ali is one of those guys who could have been on that edge. Like, hey, we don't really need this many cruiserweights. We got some of the guys in NXT. We have a Kalisto. We have a Sin Cara. We can use the guys we already had under contract. Why do we need all these different names? Mustafa Ali could have been one of those guys, but with his recent performances and he's getting more TV time now, this is a guy who can get over and eventually be a, maybe not a mainstay, but as close to it over the next couple of years on WWE TV.
I think they blew his goodwill when they got that great pop in Chicago and they beat him the next week. I don't know. I mean, he's having great matches, but great matches aren't going to get you over in the WWE, especially in this presentation of 205 and how they're doing it is mostly personality based. They haven't really shown a lot of Mustafa Ali's personality. He's having fine matches. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed especially the match last week where Neville basically lost it because we were chanting Beach Ball Mania in the audience.
Yeah, you were part of the problem, by the way.
I did not chant that. Yeah, okay. That is not my fault. I was trying to hush the mob. Hold on. You should have seen the danger.
Let's play the tape back of Jeff Hawkins saying, when we were chanting Beach Ball Mania, not when those other dweebs were chanting Beach Ball Mania. You are the problem right now. Rhino and Heath Slater going to the WWE main event.
The only picks worth a crap from SmackDown who went over to Raw are Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. Period.
And those are your next two, Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. That was fun to see. Alexa Bliss going in there. I think
Mickie's going to help Bayley immensely. I think Alexa Bliss's personality will help that division, especially up against a Sasha,
right, so
to speak. And then on the other side, on the SmackDown side, I mean, we'll go over that when we get to that. But I think
that's coming up soon. But before Monday night was over, we also had Byron Saxton moving to SmackDown and David Otunga moving to Raw. We haven't seen David Otunga yet. I thought the SmackDown commentary was much better with Byron Saxton there because I don't like David Otunga on commentary. I think his vocal tones are so different from every other announcer that WWE has. He, for some reason, he just sounds so quiet compared to every other announcer on there. And he doesn't come in at the right times in a lot of cases. I'm very concerned for his future on Raw. And I don't anticipate enjoying the Raw commentary as much as even when Byron Saxton was there. So we have yet to see David Otunga. What did you think of SmackDown commentary as we record this after SmackDown on Tuesday night? With Byron Saxton coming in there with JBL.
There's two things here. Number one, I am going to miss somewhat Corey bullying Byron Saxton a little bit. That was always kind of fun. Hot button word. You're right. But speaking of which, the reason that SmackDown commentary team flowed so well today is because JBL wasn't being so abrasive and negative, and they had him playing good boy and not being insulting and things of that nature. That's why commentary worked. I mean, Byron was good, but it's JBL who's always kind of the guy bringing the whole thing down with just lousy references and not really doing heel analysis, but rather doing heel personality. Mm-hmm. So I think really the only misstep on SmackDown tonight was Shane's introduction of Tamina, which absolutely killed her. But other than that, I mean, the commentary.
She basically was introduced as a big disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing? Like, I get the swerve factor, but you basically introduced her as a big, huge disappointment.
Yeah. But to the question itself, sorry. The commentary was fine. It's not going to last like this because eventually it's going to blow over and Vince is going to decide not to fire JBL. And then JBL will go back to being the voice of Vince.
On the SmackDown side, your first pick to SmackDown was Mr. Jinder Mahal. Again, another pre-SmackDown move. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, The Shining Stars, Tamina, Charlotte, Sin Cara, Rusev, and Lana, and The New Day move to the SmackDown side. So obviously your pick for the biggest of all of those was Charlotte. Where do you put, what about the Sami Zayn move? For weeks they had teased about how he doesn't want to go here, and now he is here, getting title match opportunities again with no reason, and losing those title match opportunities.
He was fantastic tonight, though. But so I mean, the order goes Charlotte, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn as your top three in terms of moves, I think, until Kofi comes back. And then the New Day might be players in that tag division. I still thought Big E was due a singles run, and I wouldn't mind him in that singles division. But really what SmackDown has become is the work rate show again. Really, this is a throwback to the last roster split where it's almost like they're manipulating all the people that we want to see in the ring with one another on one show, and then all the personalities for the most part on the other show.
Well, the main event of SmackDown tonight with Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, and AJ Styles.
That was fantastic.
Number one contendership for the U.S. Championship. You have AJ Styles winning. He pins Sami Zayn. Baron Corbin doesn't take the fall. Was absolutely great. All three guys. Absolutely a fantastic match. And now the winner goes on to be the U.S. Title number one contender, which I guess maybe I missed it because I wasn't watching the show super 100%. Sometimes I was watching it muted, just watching the wrestling. I don't know if they said this. Is that U.S. title match happening before Payback, or are we waiting a few weeks until after Payback to get that match? Did they say?
They did. It's at Payback. And
well, it's not at Payback because Kevin Owens is wrestling Chris Jericho at Payback. So it's not at Payback.
Yeah. No, that's the match for the U.S. title at Payback is Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, and the winner of that will face the winner of that three-way.
Okay, so the three-way winner has to wait several weeks to get their match. All right, well, yeah, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, I mean, is a heck of a match. You have the SmackDown pay-per-view happening not too much longer after. I think it's May 21st in Chicago because you have the NXT on the 20th, and then 21st is the Backlash show. So still quite a bit of ways. I mean, it's over a month away for that SmackDown match. We're going to have AJ Styles and Kevin Owens feuding on SmackDown, most likely. So that's pretty cool. What do you make of Sami Zayn here? He loses the U.S. Championship match. He doesn't want to be on SmackDown. You're going to have Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, you know, probably having segments trying to appease this nerd. I mean, this guy who's being advertised and promoted as a neurotic, talkative mess, basically. What the hell are they going to do with Sami Zayn here? Or do we get a new Sami Zayn with the new scenery?
I really don't know, because it looks like the playbook's going to be the same thing as the Sami Zayn Braun Strowman feud, except this time it's going to be Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. And we've seen this feud with Corbin before, with Dolph Ziggler and with Zack Ryder.
Well, we saw it with Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin in NXT.
Yeah.
We saw this feud already.
I would think that a nice twist would be eventually after this, and maybe chases Kevin Owens one more time, that they eventually team up Owens and Zayn. That would be nice. But I think it's so weird because the crowd is still very behind Sami Zayn. But he's at the level he's going to be at. He gets the hope spot,
right,
and then he loses.
Yeah. Despite what he's done, they're still behind Sami Zayn. But I don't know how much longer that's going to last. At some point, people are just going to give up because what does it matter? Sometimes people give up on guys. Sometimes they don't. They never gave up on CM Punk.
It's Dolph Ziggler syndrome.
Yeah. They gave up on Dolph Ziggler. They never gave up on CM Punk, but sometimes they just give up on you and you can't do it anymore. Kind of makes Kurt Angle look like a dick, right? This guy wanted to stay on your show. You're feeding him lines like, yeah, you're going to stay here. You have the chance to earn your opportunity here. And then boom, one loss and Kurt Angle sends you packing. This guy's all about winning.
You know, it was kind of disappointing to me that they didn't do more of a presentation about this. It was just whoever shows up, well, that's who's on this show. There was no real let's put some logic behind it. Let's put some story behind it. Let's, you know, let's have some GM interaction. There was none of that.
I want to know who was traded for who. Was Charlotte traded for Bray Wyatt, or was Charlotte traded for Alexa Bliss? Like, I want to know who was traded for who.
Yeah.
I want deals. I want transactions. I want the WWE transaction page to be updated with exactly what the transactions were. Was Tamita a waiver claim? Was she just a free agent signing? Was she a waiver claim? What the hell happened? And who the hell owns Undertaker? Oh no, I forgot he's dead. Rest in peace.
And if Vince liked actual sports, you'd get that.
Right, but no, just send the guys to the different shows. Like, these were a lot of trades that were made. A lot of trades and a lot of whatever the hells were made by Kurt Angle, the new acting GM, GM.
I think Vince McMahon is going to get sick of this Raw roster real fast.
Maybe not. I mean, it's got all his favorite guys on there. Let's look at now
the main. It has Braun and Roman.
The main eventers on the Raw side. I think it's a little bit more than what you're saying here. They got Roman Reigns. You got Braun Strowman. Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe. You still have Brock Lesnar, who doesn't look like he's going to be on this Payback show, but you got Brock Lesnar. You got Bray Wyatt, Bayley, Sasha Banks, and the Drifter. I mean, what more do you want in a main event side?
Yes, the Drifter.
Drifting away. Maybe he drifts to SmackDown too. Maybe, who knows where he's actually going to end up? Maybe.
No, we have a singer who's already going to get heel heat on SmackDown. We don't need two of them.
Yeah, by the way, Aiden English, I'm sorry, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of his singing gimmick. I think he's perfectly, if he wants to go out there and sing and show how he can sing, great. Do I need to hear it for a minute? No, certainly not.
Entertains Vince?
Vince ain't watching SmackDown. I'm telling you right now, this Vince guy, whoever he may be, is not watching SmackDown anymore. Those days are over. He's letting everyone else run it. He's letting Road Dogg run it.
Can I get a 20-minute NXT-style Charlotte and Becky Lynch wrestling match without the WWE chicanery?
Oh, you're going
That's
to.
That's all I want. I want that.
You are going to. Well, I don't know if you're not going to get the WWE chicanery because, for all we know, in the next couple of weeks, you might get Becky Lynch and Charlotte, number one contender for Naomi's title, and then guess what happens? Carmella and James Ellsworth come down, and all of a sudden you get a four-way.
Yeah.
At the pay-per-view with Carmella, Charlotte, Becky, and Naomi.
And James Ellsworth.
And poor Natalya. Poor Natalya is not even anywhere to be seen. I mean, she shows up on this SmackDown episode. You know, these are the six women we have in the division right now. And Natalya still can never find a title match.
Right.
Poor Natalya. That's all. On the SmackDown main event side, maybe I'm being generous here with some of the names. AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, you know, John Cena, not going to be around for a couple of months. Randy Orton's still there. Obviously, you move Bray Wyatt to Raw, and you have the Raw Championship in Brock Lesnar. They're not going to move the WWE title to Raw. So doesn't that just give away the finish to Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt at Payback? Like, yes. Super far in advance?
Yes.
They can't do it. They can't change the title because Brock's gone.
Move Orton over to Raw, and I wouldn't mind.
No. Orton, no, because, I mean, you just said that SmackDown's the work rate show, so you got to have Orton there.
Okay.
Orton, Mr. Work Rate, is what he's been known as since 2002.
Engaged.
AJ Styles, Kevin Owens, John Cena, Randy Orton, Charlotte, Naomi, and The New Day. Do you put Shinsuke Nakamura in that list? Because, let's face it, right now, he's wrestling Dolph Ziggler, who is not a main eventer.
Doesn't matter. This is the start. I mean... Of it. He wasn't going to come in and be an immediate main eventer, much like AJ Styles came in and feuded with Chris Jericho and The Miz himself. So I have no problem with that. Shinsuke will get there. That dark match that they had was pretty darn good that I saw on SmackDown. And that's part of the reason why it was worth staying the extra night. So yeah, I have no problems with it. It's not going to rebuild Dolph. It's not going to be that G1 type of Japanese match where they're both just giving it their all and then Dolph rebuilds his character. Dolph's losing this, and Shinsuke is going to move on to bigger and better things, but it'll be fine.
Does that feud even get to WWE Backlash, or is that a SmackDown match here in the next couple of weeks?
I think...
We got like 5 weeks to Backlash, man. It is a long way away.
I think we get 50-50 until Backlash.
Okay.
I think Dolph probably pulls the tights once. or, you know, hits him with an object or gets a count out or something to that effect. You know, the usual thing that they do.
Those damn international objects keep getting in the way. Shinsuke Nakamura. So yeah, I don't really put Shinsuke in the main event picture yet. We'll see what happens after a Kevin, or after Dolph Ziggler, feud goes down. But it's an interesting prognosis for SmackDown here, because there are a whole bunch of guys now that are, not interchangeable, but they can be mixed up with different guys on the roster. And there's a lot of potential matches there. Ty Dillinger still on SmackDown too. I mean, you got Ty Dillinger, if they continue to push him as any type of big deal. Maybe not main eventer wise, but upper mid card type deal. So we have one of the questions we had. I'll ask it now. I was going to ask the questions all back to back to back, but I'll ask this one now. Brian on the Twitter feed at Shake Them Ropes asked, who is the first to get gold on SmackDown? Will it be Ty Dillinger or Sami Zayn? What do you think? Who will be the first to win gold, if either of them, Ty or Sami?
Of those two?
Ty or Sami, which one wins? Okay. I took a different approach. I could see Sami just because he winds up in, you know, these Kevin Owens deals every once in a while. You got Money in the Bank that's coming up soon. Is Money in the Bank even a SmackDown show? I don't even know if it is. Money in the Bank 2007. This is the segment we like to call Googling things. Money in the Bank 2017. If it's a SmackDown.
Yeah.
It is 2017, right?
Yes.
Yeah. SmackDown show, yes. So Sami Zayn could potentially win something like that. And if you win Money in the Bank, you're probably getting the world title later in the year, I would imagine. But yeah, Sami Zayn could potentially do that. If I'm picking one guy for a singles title, it's that. What do you think about this, Jeff? I could easily see, in the world we live in right now, on the SmackDown side, hell, we got Cesaro and Sheamus going up for the tag team titles at Payback against the Hardys. What do you think about a tag team of Ty Dillinger and Sami Zayn? I think they both win the titles at the same time. It's the tag team titles. And I'm not even being facetious. I could actually see that happening. If I had to bet money on one scenario right now, I would put more money on the tag team titles. Hell yeah. He's Slater and Rhino tag team champions.
Yeah, that's my concern right now is, I mean, that was a pretty fantastic tag team match on SmackDown between Alpha and the Usos, but the Usos were pretty much, American Alpha was beat clean and beat fairly dominantly clean, and they're going to try and rehab them with the Shining Stars. I don't know who the Usos move on to unless it's the New Day, and this version of the New Day, I don't know with Woods and Big E. I don't know if they're the great babyface hope. And the only other people really on that roster to turn are either the Ascension or Breezango. So you need another babyface team.
Yeah, and Ty Dillinger and Sami Zayn could be that babyface team. They got nothing else to do. You got Daniel Bryan giving Sami Zayn a little pep talk. Hey, maybe it's not working out in the singles division. Find yourself a partner. Hey, who's better than the Perfect 10? Ty Dillinger, he's got nothing else going on. They go up for the tag team titles. Boom, bingo, bango. They win the tag team championships, and now they're the best tag team in WWE history. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That's kind of been the record of the SmackDown tag titles anyways, is that it's always been kind of a hodgepodge of who can we throw these belts on now, so...
Who can we throw these belts on now? And then they throw their little dart at the dartboard and it hits Sami Zayn right in the face. So that is your SmackDown and Raw rosters, the big draft. Charlotte, does she win the SmackDown Women's Championship at least two times for the rest of the year? Does she win it two times before 2017 comes to a close?
Yes.
And that would give her what, six? So I'm telling you, she is on pace before this decade is out to break her own father's record. That is going to be the story 4 years from now.
Yeah, she's getting this title sooner than later.
Yeah, that is going to be the story heading into WrestleMania like 2020. It's going to be, can Charlotte beat John Cena in her father's streak? Can it happen? Because John Cena's there, right? John Cena's got the 17 times or 16 times. Is that the record, 16? The record they claim. Yeah, Charlotte will get number 17 at WrestleMania 2020. Who will she beat? Who does she beat at WrestleMania 2020? Who's coming up the pipe Ruby Riott. She beat Ruby Riott for the title. She beat Asuka. Is Asuka even in WWE?
3 years away?
Yeah, 3 years away.
Candice LeRae.
All right. Candice LeRae. Yeah, that's probably never going to happen. But that's okay. That is okay. Your payback card, we talked about most of the matches. The one we didn't mention, Neville and Austin Aries. This pay-per-view is 3 weeks away. Neville and Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight title. Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt for the WWE title. The Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. And Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. It looks like that Kevin Owens-Chris Jericho match at this point is going to be your main event.
Nah, it's going to be that House of Horrors match that they're now focus group testing by giving emails and going, what do you want to see in this match? Because we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, we don't know what we want to do yet. So let's have you give us ideas. Let's focus group this. Let's work out. Let's workshop this match with all of you fans. Yeah, I was sad. I didn't get that survey. I was not one of the lucky ones to get the survey, unfortunately. But yeah, maybe they main event with the House of Horrors match. Or they could main event with Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, and then there's more matches to be made. Whatever they do, maybe Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns again in an ambulance match at this point with what happened on Raw. So yeah, you have matches coming down the pipe. You know, all the talk about Brock Lesnar winning the title and being around more often, well, he's missing the first 2 months of pay-per-views afterwards. So when does Brock Lesnar come back? Is he going to hold this title hostage all the way to SummerSlam?
I don't think he's going to hold it hostage, but he's going to have it. I mean, he's going to have at least one match in there, probably with Braun.
Well, if Dean Ambrose is the Intercontinental Champion and Brock Lesnar's away from TV for a while and Kevin Owens brings the U.S. title to SmackDown, your championship on your house shows is Dean Ambrose's Intercontinental Championship. Is that okay? Is it okay for Dean Ambrose to be main eventing every house show, or does it even matter at this point?
He's not going to be main eventing every house show. Roman Reigns is. Oh, Roman Reigns is a champion without a title.
Yeah, in the no DQ matches. Yeah.
Yeah.
Possible separated shoulder from that ambulance attack. Poor Roman. I mean, this guy may miss even like 4 or 5 days. It's outrageous. 4 or 5 days from the ambulance attack. Remember when Rock was murdered dead by Hogan and then like showed up on TV the next night? I love WWE injuries.
Hey, gender concussed Finn, so he may not be back for a while.
Finn Balor has a concussion, so he's on the 7-day disabled list right now, pending his return and his doctor visits. Yeah, that's a sticky situation too. You know, Finn Balor did not come back in the title picture. Finn Balor wrestling Jinder Mahal. They don't really know what to do with him right now. What was his place in the pay-per-view? What is his place in the pay-per-view? Granted, thinking he's not going to be out for more than at least 1 week, does he have a spot on this pay-per-view? What is his spot on a Raw pay-per-view when you have the four matches you already have? Is it Samoa Joe? Is it somehow involved in the Seth Rollins program? Is it someone completely off? Is it the Drifter? Could we be getting Finn Balor and the Drifter at Payback?
You could. I mean, you could get a glorified squash until they can get to this Bray Finn program that they seem to be going towards.
Bray and Finn. Yeah, there you go.
Because what's going to happen for is Finn Balor. Bray's going to take control of the demon. And yeah, okay, great.
Well, someone has to. This demon's got to stop just running amok.
Yeah.
He's got to stop it. He's getting hurt all over the place. More questions. Let's go to the questions at the Twitter feed at Shake Them Ropes. Ben asks, I didn't watch WWE from 2002 to 2009. Did I miss anything? Jeff, did he miss anything?
SmackDown 6.
He missed the SmackDown 6. And I mean, if we're being obvious, he missed the rise of the most prominent WWE superstar of this generation. He missed the entire rise of Randy Orton. You see what really? I did there? I shamed you because the answer was John Cena, but I sent you the big disappointment of Randy Orton. He also missed a shitload of just horrible Triple H 20-minute promos to open Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the worst era of Triple H promos, the 2004-2005-ish time.
Oh, you missed a lot of bad Triple H phases. I mean, you had, Evolution.
Phases and faces with all the different hairstyles he had. Yeah, with the beard,
the Harley Race phase with his weird haircut. Yeah,
just a whole bunch of stuff going on. You didn't miss. I mean, this was a downtime. You had the late 90s and the Attitude Era and everything, and then you had to kind of regroup. And from 2005 to 2008, It was the Randy Orton versus John Cena show with Triple H just wrestling whoever he wanted to. It wasn't the best time in WWE. And then 2009, 2010 came along. It started getting a little bit better. And then it went more mainstream after the CM Punk, defection, if you will, in 2011. And then Brock Lesnar came back, and it's just been getting hotter and hotter, seemingly outside of the wrestling bubble since then. But no, I mean, you didn't really miss anything. Much of the same guys who were working 2002 to 2009 are still doing it today. And the only one who isn't is Rob Conway and The Undertaker. Everyone else still here, basically. So we also had a question from Trisha.
Ah.
Trisha asks, was the Drifter ready for his call-up?
Vince McMahon likes prepackaged guys with gimmicks. Now, whether you think he was ready wrestling-wise is up to, is pretty much open for debate. But, you know, in terms of being a gimmick, he was ready.
I would say, I mean, there wasn't much for him to
do.
He's
Adam Rose. He's yeah. Adam Rose this, you know?
They were workshopping the gimmick a little bit. He did it on the house shows. Some of the best and funniest stuff was after he got, he lost the Loser Leaves NXT match. He was doing some cool things on the house shows. He had that one episode where he wore the mask and he got, escorted from the building. This has, for the last several months, screamed to me a gimmick that was better suited on the main roster than it was in NXT. Just a guy roaming around. He's not that bad in the ring. He's got a look that Vince McMahon likes, and that he looks like he belongs in the ring. He's not a guy wearing jeans and a t-shirt like everyone on SmackDown. He looks like he belongs. So he'll get chances, and I don't think he's going to disappoint me, and he might make a few more fans. Hell, Mojo Rawley's making more fans. A lot of people didn't really like Rusev at the beginning, and now he's won over a ton of people. I think the Drifter has a shot. I do. And it's not just me being a homer for the Drifter, because why would I be? Drifter has potential in there. I just don't know what he's going to do on Raw to finish that point. I have no idea. Is he going to drift for the next 3 weeks? Is WWE in a holding pattern somehow until Payback ends?
Yes, and that way they can separate the rosters, because they had a plan going to Payback, and then they decided, oh, we're going to do this shakeup, and then, oh, yeah, we have this is basically a super show now.
Here we are after WrestleMania, when you got talents being called up, you have this big opportunity for a blank slate, and you just have this creative canvas that's white right now that you can just throw anything up there and just see what's happening, what's going to make the crowd excited for watching your next pay-per-view, what you can do to reinvigorate both of these shows. And you have a main event rematch with Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens. You have a WWE title main event rematch with Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt. You have Austin Aries and Neville couldn't even separate from each other. They get a rematch. Everything is rematches in here. Every single thing is a rematch. The Hardys rematching Cesaro and Sheamus instead of the holders of the tag team titles that actually lost the belts. It's a funny time right now. And it seems like we have to wait for 3 weeks until Payback is over to see what they then do heading into Backlash a month later after that. And also, even on that note, what do you make of NXT having a takeover just 1 month, 1.5 months after the WrestleMania weekend, with no Shinsuke Nakamura, with no clear direction for Asuka, with no clear direction for what is going to happen with the NXT title, unless you are into the spoilers, because it seems clear what's going to happen there. Your big thing there right now is Drew McIntyre coming back and seeing where he lands in the folds of NXT. But if they do these takeovers more often, is that a good thing, or are we about to see the overexposure of NXT when it's already been lacking buzz?
Yes, I think it's overexposure a little bit. The Drew McIntyre thing shocked us, because while we're watching a show, McIntyre opened up that Evolve show, and then half an hour later, he's in the audience for NXT. That was the thing that was shocking to us. I disagree that Asuka doesn't have a direction. I think the direction is fairly clear, is that she's now turned more desperate to keep her title, and she'll continue to.
But who against? Does Ember Moon get the immediate rematch? Okay.
Probably.
Wouldn't be that bad. A little bit of a difference in Asuka. She was a little heelish there with Bayley, but she wasn't like desperate to keep the title. She was just, I'm the best and I know it.
This one was flat out.
Yeah.
Very obvious. I'm turning heel.
Were you at the Evolve show when that was happening, or were you at NXT?
I was at the Evolve show because you were texting me about NXT and I said, I'm at a show right now.
Oh, that's right. Yes. You were there. I don't even remember what I was texting you about. For some reason, you texted me about the show.
You texted me about, I know what you texted me about. You texted me about the Authors of Pain and whether or not this was their, coming out and that was the match of the weekend for WWE.
Yeah.
Was that three-way tag match? I thought there were overall there were better matches that I saw on the indies than most of the others, but that three-way tag match hit me right in my feels, man. I loved that. I loved it. Was so logical with the team up of DIY and the Revival and it kind of went how I thought it would, where they try to eliminate the Authors of Pain and then they go after each other and then the Authors of Pain come back. And I liked that they eliminated DIY first. I liked that kind of little twist there, as opposed to just having a straight baby heel. You have worse heel and crafty heel, and I liked that dynamic. I thought it was very good. I love that match.
Philip asks to close out our Ruthless Aggression era theme. Philip asks, who was the best star in WWE of the Ruthless Aggression era? You had a lot of guys out there. You had Kurt Angle. You had Randy Orton. You had Jeff Hardy kind of climbing on the singles train there in the later stages of the 2000s. Who was your big star? Was it indeed probably the most obvious answer in John Cena?
Who was my favorite or who was the biggest star?
Well, I guess because it's not really that debatable, right? That it was John Cena. So what do you think? What was the Ruthless Aggression to you? The era of Ruthless Aggression to you?
I loved Chris Benoit. So, I mean, but that's me. And I loved Kurt Angle. Those were the two guys that I really geeked out over.
Yeah. Kurt Angle to me was the biggest deal, but, we really saw from 2002 to 2009, not just the rivalry that they pushed us, that they pushed on TV for such a long time with Randy Orton and John Cena, but you saw what it was like for a guy to change gimmicks a couple of times in the first year to 2 years, find something and then just run with it. And yeah, he got a lot of opportunities that, you know, certain guys may not get, but John Cena is exactly what we hope a lot of these guys that are around now do. And not all of them have the confidence that John Cena certainly showed to actually go out and do it. Like, John Cena should be the template for everyone in WWE. You may want to be a better in-ring wrestler. You may want to do things a little bit more your way, but John Cena should be everyone's hero.
Right. But they took care of him. I mean, you can't blame guys who aren't getting taken care of like Cena was. I mean, Cena was, I mean, you got to remember, I mean, Ruthless, this is post Ruthless Aggression, but remember, I mean, this is a guy who was getting DDT'd on concrete in a 2-on-1 handicap match and just running back in and pinning a guy. So there are certain things he got to do that
but it was
took
also,
care of his character that other people didn't.
Yeah, it was also a guy who was teaming with Buchanan and coming out here in mid-card SmackDown, floating out pretty lame raps. Although those pretty lame raps ended up getting him over, but he ran with what was getting him over, and then they ran with what was getting him over. But he was a dork at first. I mean, he wasn't anyone at first.
No, and then what they did was they had him destroy the people who looked better against him. I mean, look, the time to no offense, I still think the biggest crime against that whole era was Christian not getting a world heavyweight title run when he was in that program with Cena. Yeah. I thought Christian was fantastic in that program.
Christian was pretty cool. Right before he left, too, the three waves with Chris Jericho and John Cena were really good matches. But it is amazing also to look at how fast it happened for John Cena. I mean, he was going through different characters in the first year or two. But 2002 to 2004, he was beating the Big Show at WrestleMania. And then he won the world title the next year. And then it was, that was all she wrote. Wrestling Triple H in the title. Always these title matches at WrestleMania. Always the headliner at WrestleMania. It really did happen very, very quickly for him, and it does not happen that quick for almost anyone else. So there were opportunities, and he ran with them. But yeah, John Cena was the biggest star, but my favorite star, as I've, and we talked about it in the build up to the Hall of Fame show with Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle's my favorite wrestler ever, as far as the WWE guy goes. And so he was my favorite guy from Ruthless Aggression, and he lived through it all. He was at the tail end of Attitude Era into the Ruthless Aggression era. He spent more time in TNA than he did in WWE, and now he's back, and he's the GM in the network era. Who's the biggest new star of the network era, Jeff, if it's not Roman Reigns?
It's Roman Reigns. It has to be.
He's the biggest new star of the network era. Not AJ Styles. I mean, this guy is a WWE rookie.
Daniel Bryan would be my other choice, but
Daniel Bryan was kind of done though at the start. His biggest moment did happen at the very start of the network era. WrestleMania 30 comes on 2 months into the WWE network. He wins the world title. He's this big, huge star, but then it was nothing after that. I mean, Kane killed him, and then Daniel Bryan has been nowhere since. This Kane guy. What do you think about Kane running for mayor?
I got no issue with it. I think he's a very bright person. Well, yeah, why would you have an issue politics. With it?
Yeah, good for Kane. I want to see Kane win. Why wouldn't you? I want to see Kane win and then wrestle on Raw.
I listened to him on another radio show today. He seems, you know, he seems like his head and heart are in the right place. I got no problem with that. He owns a local business, and he wants to give to his community.
Here's the trivia for you, Jeff. Did you know, or do you know, what brand is Kane currently signed to?
Kane is on the SmackDown brand, I believe.
You are correct, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that with some confidence. I would not have had any confidence going into that if I didn't already know.
I remember us talking about where Kane was for a while, so that's why I remembered.
Did we talk about Kane on the SmackDown side, the big Kane feud? What about Big Show? Underrated move. Big Show not moving anywhere.
Yeah.
he's winding down. Who cares? He's a little attraction. Yeah. What do you have? I was gonna ask,
since you're obviously running on fumes for WWE stuff, I was going to do a post mortem on the indie shows I watched on Mania weekend.
If you want to. Am I running on fumes on WWE stuff? I still got one more question for you, but yes, go ahead.
Let's get rid of your question first. Let's get all out of your system, and then I'll go to my thing.
We'll close the show with the question. We'll do one final question at the end. Your post-mortem on all the indie shows you watched, which were over 10, so I do not want you to talk about all of them.
No, your biggest highlights. No. I got bullet points.
Give me bullet points, and I will tell you if your bullet points are pooey.
My favorite match, probably Donovan Dijak versus Keith Lee. Keith Lee is the breakout star of this weekend, in my opinion, of all the shows. All his matches were fantastic. I saw three matches of his with Jeff Cobb, Ricochet, and Donovan Dijak, and they were all fantastic. I really enjoyed the second half of that Shimmer show that I watched. I think the triumvirate, or what is her name? The triad, or what are the stable with Shayna Baszler, Mercedes Martinez,
The shot clock is winding down.
Saw a great tag match with Kaylee Ray and Mia Yim versus Tessa Blanchard and Vanessa Craven, and that was really good. I think women's wrestling kind of appeals to me in that old school way, and that, you know, as opposed to the men who are just kind of waiting to do their turn at full speed and do high spots, there's actual fatigue on the women's side, so I really enjoyed that. The tag team match between the South Pacific Power Trip and Sami Callihan and Shane Strickland was balls to the walls crazy. It was great. It's probably, you know, other than the ladder match in Ring of Honor with the Hardys and the Young Bucks, I think that match was fantastic. Those four, and I don't really like Sami Callihan all that much in terms of as a performer. I think I have mad respect for what he did with his body and all those other things, but I've never been the biggest Sami Callihan fan, but that match, fan friggin' tastic. And also the other South Pacific Power Trip match versus Chris Dickinson and Jaka from Catch Point. I think that's a pretty darn good match. Chikara show, Mike Quackenbush and Zack Sabre Jr. had a pretty good match. Quack came out of retirement. That was a lot of fun. the no DQ, no rules match between Ethan Page and Darby Allin is one of the most insane experiences I've ever been through. That thing, Darby Allin is insane. He's going to die before he's 30. I mean, there's just no other way about it, the way that they let him throw his body around and just the abuse he takes. It's just insane. But overall, a great venue. Concessions had a little bit to be desired, but the venue was great. Great weekend of wrestling there. And I think it helped me overall in a positive way going into the WWE matches I was watching. So, but Keith Lee's the breakout star. Matt Riddle, you can no longer say for how long he's been in the business. He's a great wrestler now. It's not just he's a great wrestler for how long he's been in. He's great. And fun times. Lots of great people. Lots of people who were fans of our show came up and said so. And they're fan, and even fans of you, Rob. They said very nice things about you. So take that love and take those compliments. And I appreciate everybody who said nice things.
You spent 3 minutes talking about how the concessions at a indie show.
I did not spend 3 minutes
on WrestleMania weekend.
I did not, because the concessions at WrestleMania
were, yeah, you spent 3 minutes on the concessions and you're muted right now. You are muted. I am muting you. 3 minutes on the concessions at an indie show in Orlando. You, Jeff Hawkins, would not last 10 seconds next to JBL.